Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you.
Yeah, everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope your cake's up. London with the beach, yeah, we go so in. Then we go with a friend, yeah, we both win. Hotel chilling, yeah, she's sweet. Got the pain and the koozie up in the suite. Taking pics with the side chick, ooh, delete. I bet you're wondering how I keep it all so neat. Yeah, back in the days, 14 years. Going up, London town, yes, no fears. Went on a vacay, yes, it was a teaser. Later found out she was going to a visa.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pump Heads. I'm your host, Lara Marie Shainhalls, but you know that. And with me today, I'm so excited to have on the pod beauty connoisseur, fellow elite podcaster, it's Nick Axelrod. Hi.
I have not been this nervous to do anything since I interviewed Kathy Griffin, and I have like a bad habit of when I have ever interviewed a comedian to try to like make them laugh, and that's like not what you should do, like, as the interviewer, you know. And
yeah, as the interviewer, for sure,
it's
no.
that's not your job. And I blacked out during that interview, but I feel similarly nervous to talk about one of my favorite things in the world. And I listened to Babe back in the day.
Amazing.
Do, so I'm very excited.
I'm so glad to have you here. Truly, I love people that like are in different industries. Like, I want their takes on the show. I hope to reach like a sector of every type of person in the world and get them to weigh in on Vanderpump Rules. So you're part of my ultimate mission plan. And don't even be nervous, because truly I could not imagine a more lower stakes environment.
No, I mean, I know. And it is, you know, it is Vanderpump Rules. And this is a show about nothing and trash bags, but at the same time, it's also art, and it's also important. You know what I mean?
It is incredibly serious. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best mixture, because it both is meaningless and so meaningful.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So can I just tell you a little bit about how I came to Vanderpump?
Please do.
I was living in New York, and I was house swapping with a friend in LA, and I woke up, I think, on New Year's Day alone in this Echo Park house that I was staying in. And on Hulu, there was like the back catalog. I was probably three seasons behind. I had never watched it. Mm-hmm. And I watched like the first season of Vanderpump Rules in, you know, whatever, a few hours on New Year's Day. And I was so blown away by Stassi season one, before she like knew that she was going to be like a star, you know, a reality TV star.
Yeah.
Is some of the best reality TV I've ever seen.
Yeah, seasons 1, 2, and 3 are so organic and just like
pure.
Truly raw and very pure. Like before celebrity hits them, right?
And yeah, then- and but before filler and before Botox and like they all just like look normal. And it's all the back alley stuff, and it's Stassi and Jax, you know.
Yeah, there was just also so much like raw sexual energy happening
in
the
show
that is truly gone at this point, which just hit me like in the last 24 hours. I was like, oh, there's no more like horniness on Vanderpump Rules.
You're actually totally right. Like Raquel is sexless.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie is completely sexless.
Yeah. Void of...
Lala like talks about it so much that it renders her sexless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Schwartz and Sandoval, you're right. There's literally no... Jax, say what you will about Jax.
Mm-hmm. Our problematic king, Jax Taylor.
He was fuckable.
Yeah. He made you question your own... sexual
values.
Preferences. Yeah, it was constant back and forth of like, would I, wouldn't I? He kept you on your toes. And he also really anchored the show with his like horniness.
Yeah. And he seems like and I know this is like a backhanded compliment, but he seems like responsible enough to take Valtrex every day so that mm-hmm. I would feel comfortable sleeping with him. Do you know what I mean?
He knows his body well enough to know about going on antivirals. I think you might be able to get him to use a condom if it's like really, really thin.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, lamb
skin. If you're just doing like a quick fuck, which I imagine it would be, you're not going to linger with Jax Taylor. You know what I mean? There's not like
And I like, I kind of trust that about him. Like I would trust a porn star or anyone in sex work, like mm-hmm. that they just like would know, you know, and that would be my main concern with having sex with Jax Taylor. That would be my only concern.
Yeah. But I really think at this point, like he's got it on lock and it would be, you'd have a good time.
Do we think that Brittany and Jax are going to get their... Do they have a spinoff in the works? Like another one of them go to Kentucky?
I worry about what they are going to do for a living a lot.
Me too.
I think that they probably all had to sign like crazy non-compete clauses. So I don't know if they'd be doing a spinoff anywhere in like the NBC Universal like universe.
But are they dead to Bravo? Like all of them?
They might be dead to Bravo. I would watch any sort of spinoff that any like fired castmates do. Like, obviously, it's my job. But like, yeah, I don't know.
I had one. So when I was watching this week's episode, I had one question which I wrote down, which was, and this is like a very, you know, I was a reporter back in the day. And so I like to like figure out like what are the facts that we know and then what can we like deduce? What can we take from those facts and apply elsewhere? So we found out last week that Erika Jayne makes $600,000 a season to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I didn't know that, but I'm glad to know that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So that we like Andy Cohen, Randy Cohen, Andy said at some point during like one of the reunion like kerfuffles that he was like, I know how much you make. And it was revealed to be $600,000.
Okay.
Knowing that, how much... did the cast members of Vanderpump make?
The OGs that have been on for... once you're on for over 3 seasons, I think you get a significant pay bump. So I think Tom Sandoval, Schwartz, and Katie, they must be getting somewhere in the ballpark of like... I want to say $20,000 an episode.
And how many episodes? So
there's probably like 18 episodes or something.
So we're going to do this math. Okay,
or like 20 to 24 episodes. I'm not so sure, but I think it's like up. They're definitely in the six figures. Like even I would say.
So, okay. If it was 20. Yeah. So about 500K, we think. Like the OGs.
OGs.
450 to 500.
And also Bravo really cut costs by letting go all those people. So now they can just like underpay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure James Raquel. I definitely think Charlie's probably not making great. Charlie's definitely not making great money.
It's like for trade. It's like she just like wants the Sir uniforms.
Exposure.
Just so she
has. Yeah. And free uniforms and like access to alcohol.
as yeah, as many strawberry field salads as they can eat.
Yeah, I think they do pretty well for themselves at this point. But like Jax and Brittany, I don't know what other strains of income they have.
I mean, they do a lot of those like flat tummy tea ads and things like that.
Okay.
That, I think that will dry up. Also, like, the algorithm changes recently, not to get too in the weeds with, like, how influencers make money, but, like, their impressions are down, so, like, I just don't think they're going to be they're not going to be getting the kind of deals that they might have been getting.
Yeah.
But one thing I think about a lot is that the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules not only makes more money than I do.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, meaning, like, Raquel... whatever, Levesque or Levis. Something, mm-hmm. Levis, she makes so much more money than I make. And like a lot of them own houses. They own homes. They're homeowners.
Seeing them accomplish like huge life goals and their like ascension to wealth, fame, and stardom has damaged my personal mental health along way. It's been a lot to get over. I feel like especially the biggest thing was like when Stassi wrote a book and I was like, oh god damn it, like I really, it was a dark night of the soul for me personally. But like, yeah, the houses stuff is also a hard pill to swallow, but now I'm in a place of just acceptance and it feels good.
And they have big mortgages,
huge mortgages, and also
a lot, there's a lot of overhead.
Are you really jealous of anyone's house that's on the show?
No, I mean, no,
you know what I mean, like you take,
you know,
it
like whenever you pass, like you're like in a neighborhood in LA and you pass like a new construction, and it'll be like one of those like crazy white farmhouses with like painted
there's
white
so
brick.
Many.
And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, who would fucking buy, like who is buying these white farmhouses? And then
literally
you know,
the cast
the
of Vanderpump
like,
Rules and everyone that's in their like immediate stratosphere.
Universe.
Yeah. There's a very specific type of LA person that's like attracted and yearns for that kind of nouveau farmhouse.
They're
vibe.
Like, it really grosses me out to live in a space that someone else has lived in before. So I just like how clean they are. You know,
I
like I just like how.
With a nod to the old.
I like the idea of like a traditional, you know, like white picket fence family that I never had. Mm-hmm. Yet I want it to be brand new.
Yeah. It's, I think it speaks to some childhood trauma that's unresolved and just a getting back, like a getting back to basics.
So that's a great segue because the biggest question I had from this episode was, okay, I like took notes, but then I got confused.
Kate, it's all good. I take a lot of notes
Kate,
too,
Susan, so. And Kate, Susan, and Laura.
We, okay, this shook me and I thought, I was watching the episode last night and I thought, I definitely didn't hear that right. Like, I must be too tired. Like, I simply must go to bed and I'll revisit this in the morning when I have more clarity and like mental acuity. So then I started the episode at that point, rewatched and confirmed my initial belief that Raquel's biological mother,
Susan,
gave birth to her biological sister, Kate. Then
first.
She got...
I like how Raquel says first. That her older sister was born first. Understood.
She likes to make sure... I really appreciate her making sure that we know that. So then her mother, biological mother, got
biological
pregnant
mother.
With Raquel. And... I guess did not want to have Raquel as a baby, but her aunt.
I'm not laughing.
I truly like
family.
I
all families are beautiful.
Yeah,
honestly.
And everyone does things differently. Like, there's like no shade or shame like with adoption or anything. I just think that this is a truly wild and unique situation.
Yeah,
sexy unique situation. Susan said, "I don't want this baby," but Laura, Susan's sister, said, "I want the baby." So Susan said, "You can have Raquel."
So I'll keep. So basically, like
I'll keep
the pregnancy for you.
For you, have this baby, and then you adopt her. And Raquel seems well adjusted over this.
Did Kate, who is the one who was born first from their biological mother, aka older sister. But did she stay with Susan or did she also go to Laura?
No, I think she stayed with Susan is the impression that I
got. It. Okay. Okay.
I'm just going to say off the bat, I hate Kate on Raquel's behalf. I think she's a, I think she's a buzzkill, and I don't like her one bit.
Do you like the faded the faded black ink like starscape on her shoulder?
She's bringing a whole different vibe to the table that's decidedly very un-Raquel. And so I feel like it was a good thing that they were separated when they were. But I'm team Raquel. And even if Raquel won't honor her own feelings of anger or resentment, like, I'll carry that torch for her.
Well, where did she grow up in Canada?
No, I think she grew up in California. Like, I want to say Sonoma. Or she went to Sonoma, some college in Sonoma. But I think she's a California girl.
Interesting. I don't know why I thought she was from Canada. I think I thought her last name sounded like French Canadian. Levis.
Mm-hmm. And she has like
she
kind
seems,
of
a, she has a she Canadian seems very hair Canadian about her. You know what I mean?
So we're getting a lot of like shocking backstories like that we didn't used to get. Like with Charlie, I hope to learn more about Charlie's upbringing.
Oh my God.
They're leading with trauma this season with like the newer cast member additions, and I'm not mad at it.
So Charlie, as from what we know at this point, Charlie, don't fuck with her. Out of anyone,
she's not the one.
She's not the one to fuck with, right? And that is because she comes from like a very tough background, we think.
Yeah, she's from Barstow, I think, which said it all to me. And then
and she just like knows people.
Yeah, and she's like really been through it, and you just don't fuck with Charlie.
Right. I mean, I want to see her parents. Speaking of parents, James's mom's new face.
New face.
I feel like I'm being
energy.
A bitch, and I'm not trying to be a bitch about
no,
these people
it's
and
not.
Their appearance.
This is the place to be a bitch about the cast members.
Okay, so good.
It's a totally bitch friendly environment.
So Jacqueline is James's mom.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something online being like, wouldn't it be amazing if PK was James's father? Like PK from Beverly
PK
Hills is
James's
father.
James's father do have a very similar vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust either one.
Mm-hmm. I would trust PK more. I turned a corner. I turned a sad corner with PK where I'm now like I'm dealing with like a personal attraction to PK.
Interesting.
I know. It really like his sense of humor and like the jokes that he brought to the table about the Erica situation.
That one scene really won him. Like it won him more fans.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like less like a shyster or like a
totally.
Like you know what I mean? Like a good time guy or whatever. He's just like a con artist.
Yeah.
I thought. And now it doesn't seem like he is anymore because he was funny.
It doesn't seem like that. And he has a sense of humor. And then he's also been like more open about his own financial failings, which then gives you like a trustworthy energy. So
yeah, I agree.
All of this is to say he's a one.
But Jacqueline's new face.
Jacqueline's new face. Her whole. I like that she's leading with positivity.
Yes.
In everything she says and does, even if she may not really truly feel that.
I mean, I think she probably saw, you know, herself on camera for the first time that, you know, two seasons ago or whenever we first met dear Jacqueline. And she, like the camera is tough. And
the camera doesn't lie.
The camera doesn't lie. James Kennedy is 22 years old and like all of the hard partying hasn't really caught up with him, you know, from a complexion standpoint. And I think Jacqueline just compared to everyone else just saw it and went to a doctor and pumped her. I mean, it could be a facelift, but I think it's just a ton of dermal fillers.
I think it's a lot of, fillers and some like neurotoxins at play.
Yes.
And
like a new haircut. She has Katie's haircut.
She does. And it's laying a little better than Katie's tends to lay. I want to say one of my favorite stories about Jacqueline is from the Doty and James Kennedy era where Kristen Doty said that Jacqueline stole her credit card and used it to charge $400 worth of Botox. And I thought that's queen shit right there.
That is so wild. Imagine. And also like is Lisa Vanderpump, like, remind me how she knows James's mother? Or does she know James's father? Like, how did she get messed up with these people?
I just assume, I guess, that all British people that move to a city like Los Angeles just know each other.
It's like how Nicole Kidman knows Naomi Watts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if later we found out that Nicole and Naomi somehow know Brock.
Oh, I completely. Brock is so hot and it's distracting.
You are a Brockhead. He's just a little too big for me, I think.
Honestly, he's not big enough for me. Like, he could literally kill me. He could sit on me, suffocate me,
mm-hmm.
squeeze me like a walnut between his legs.
His huge, meaty thighs, throw you through a window.
Until my brain pops out of my ears and I would be happy. I'd like die happy because I think he's so hot.
I love that. I would like a man to like bench press me. You know what
I
mean? And I love like if I could lay on a man and he can do push-ups, that also is a turn on. So Brock is bringing that to the table.
And he is, I'll correct my earlier statement. He is the only one, I think, on the show who has some sort of sex appeal at this, like, that he does.
We're not like, I think we're focusing on kind of the wrong thing with Brock and this second family. Like, I can't see Sheena, my queen Sheena Shea, like get hurt again. So I would rather just be lied to and told that everything's fine and focus on how happy they are. And yeah, I would love to get a glimpse more into like their sex life.
Like, who at 20 years old didn't make mistakes?
Yeah.
Right? Who among us?
And if you want to live in America and provide a better life for your family, live in another continent, what can you do?
Like, the way that Sheena retold the story was like coming, like our ancestors coming from Russia, you know, like one would go over and like have to trade a pair of candlesticks for like the ship ticket or something. And like, then they would like send money. It's like Brock has not sent a dollar back to his family in Australia. Like, he was not going to like the new land to find a better life, you know.
Or maybe he was. We don't know. I mean, I think he was trying to play sports. Like, he's ex or was an NFL hopeful or something.
Because I was like, guess where you don't go if you're trying to play rugby professionally? America.
Yeah, not rugby, but I think he was. Oh, but he was going to be like in the American NFL. Football, and then it just didn't work out. But he just realized America is the land of opportunity.
True.
And you get to escape your family. Your first
and like
family.
where does Brock begin and Jason Momoa end?
That's a great
and if
question.
There's room, you know, and like I feel like he could get. I feel like he has star power, mm-hmm. Brock to me.
He also seems vulnerable.
Yeah, he cried. I mean,
he cries like he's one to watch.
Oh, 100%. More so than anyone else. Like the fact that I was talking about this with my husband last night. The fact that we're like stuck with James Kennedy and Raquel in like the driver's seat, and like
it's a twist we never would have seen coming.
It just feels like we've taken the understudies, you know, and put them in, mm-hmm. and then that's the new cast. Like it was not the show I bought tickets for, and yet it's the show I'm watching.
I appreciate Raquel's ascension to being like the star of Vanderpump Rules, because again, if you had asked me in her first scene like how far she would go, I would say not far at all. But I like her AI energy that she brings to the table. Like, I guess
what she is able to offer is an intense vulnerability, like transparency or vulnerability. Like, she in the last episode when she said, this is a quote, "How are you not embarrassed by me?" to James. And then James comforts her by saying, "You're a great talker with your friends when you're chatting."
Yeah.
Like, don't beat yourself up that you can't make a toast.
Relationship goals, honestly.
But like that vulnerability is, I think, what makes a good reality TV star. Like, she just is saying the most like cringeworthy, truthful things that we all probably feel but don't say.
And very earnest. Like, in this episode at the start, she goes, "I'm surrounded by friends. I have a festival named after me. I'm going to be the future Mrs. James Kennedy." And she's like, "Life is good." And I was like, that is actually great for you. Like, she's reflecting on a moment of true happiness in her life.
But the fact that, like, Coachella is, they're treating Coachella like it is Mecca, and that they have, it is like so mind-blowing that like they would be able to recreate Coachella like on the same field where they like have seen all these great bands, like that whole, that romanticizing like Coachella, which if you've ever been, is,
it's not hell.
It's like, hell. And it's also become a parody of itself.
Yeah. I've had maybe 1.5 Coachella experiences that I truly enjoyed. And then the rest have been a long, like, I wished for the sweet release of death for like the whole time I was there.
I went in 2007 and Prince was the headliner. Mm-hmm. And I left before Prince because I was like, this place smells like fucking horseshit because it's on a literal polo field. And like, there's not like, there's no water. And I was carrying a backpack and I was like, this is horrible.
No, I've never known how to like, I've never even known how to approach Coachella from like a looking cute standpoint even. I'm like, after I've been standing around and sweating in the desert for 12 plus hours and being forced to walk like 5 miles a day, I'm gonna look like shit and also feel like shit. And I don't understand how these other like Coachella girls and guys are like truly killing it on the polo fields looking unbothered. I'm like, how are you doing that? I don't think they're real people.
No, I think that it's something you train for.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just, I don't think you just walk the great Coachella polo fields and just think like
the battleground. That's just,
yeah, the battleground. Like, I think that there is a certain amount of prep and caloric deprivation and carb aversion and, you know, like
their
hydration.
I interacted with some women who had made like full blown Excel documents of all the outfit changes that would take place like throughout the day and like for the parties. Yeah. Like, it was like, there are strategizers that descend on these music festivals.
And so I guess I get it then that Coachella was like brought Ariana to tears.
Just their like remembering love for Coachella, I actually kind of love, because it does feel like, I remember on social media when Ariana and Tom went to Coachella for the first time, and I did see the joy just like radiating off of their Instagram posts and stories, so I was like, good for them. But for
like,
to
you,
have
you felt like
that
was real
that much, what means that much to you in your life? What's your Coachella?
That's a really good question. Like Amazon Prime. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that like you can, anything you can think of, you can get the next day is like kind of mind-blowing. I also have a daughter and a husband, so they're like in the,
they're your
my
Coachella.
Coachella. They're sort of my Coachella too. Yeah, but like just the idea of like overnight shipping, and you can get anything.
Anything. Oh, tell me about it. I love Amazon Prime.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go. Because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
What's your Coachella?
I would say Amazon Prime is up there. That's Coachella level for me as well. I think probably my Sephora credit card is a Coachella. Mm-hmm. My dog is very Coachella to me. Like that's a comfortable, fair. A comfortable bed, like a really comfy bed, great sheets, mattress, pillows, cover, blankets. That's Coachella.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very Coachella, like a mm-hmm. real, like a Four Seasons mattress with like all the pillows, like oof. That has just been made.
Yeah, with like a full, like a heavy duvet, but that doesn't make you sweat.
And you no, it doesn't make you sweat because you've like cranked the AC down to like 65 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and you're under the covers. That's Coachella.
Yeah, some workout classes are very Coachella to me.
Yeah.
I'm just living in a different, yeah, it's like I just am not a Coachella person, but I love their passion and the joy that it brings them. And especially Dominariana.
The crying about it, but also the $25,000 that it took to like erect the Coachella on the field, number one, seemed low.
I thought that seemed high. I thought 5,000 max.
To get a taco truck, a teepee, like a margarita Ariel. Bar. Ariel, dancer. That dancer. Yeah.
Those balloon strings. Those are essential Coachella. You cannot do Coachella without a long balloon string. So yeah, I guess.
No, but actually, but you know what probably rang up the most was the fireworks.
Yeah, for sure.
Fireworks are very expensive, I think.
I can't believe, I'm like, that's why I'm like, these people are rich and either are terrible with their finances or they're just so rich at this point that they can blow that kind of money, like just plop down $12,500 each and it's really not a big deal to them.
I think that they are terrible with their money. I do not think that they are rich beyond belief. I think
because Sandoval and Schwartz have to have made, well, I don't know, with the pandemic and stuff, like what the returns on TomTom are right now.
No, you're right. I mean, the pandemic was hard on all of us, but it was particularly hard on Tom and Tom.
Devastating to Lisa's
empire.
I mean, we straight up lost Villa Blanca in the pandemic. Good.
No one's talking about that.
No one's talking about that.
Villa Blanca's gone.
TomTom was one of the last restaurants in LA to like reopen. Like it opened far later than anywhere
because
else.
they have our safety first. Like that's all they care about.
Public
probably.
Safety is their Coachella at TomTom. Yeah. But yeah, like I think I wonder because they were gearing up for just like a great 2020 with like opening up the little side area, like a whole new zone of TomTom. So now they have to really make it back. But I feel like Schwartz and Sandy's could be a huge hit.
I so agree. And I'm so happy you said that. I think like it's a fine name. Get over the name.
I like the name.
Absolutely
now,
fine
I
name.
Ride for the name.
The fact that like even that Tom Sandoval actually knows who James Turrell is was also kind of mind-blowing that he was like, and I was like, okay, I guess James Turrell's like so basic at
it's
this
invaded
point.
The culture. Yeah, once it's reached like a Sandoval level, yeah, you're like, okay, we need a new light artist. Yeah.
Seriously. But I think it's a genius idea because I don't even know where Franklin Village is, but I assume that there's not a cool place to go.
They're putting it on the map. I think it used to be La Poubelle, but now if I were the owners of La Poubelle, I'd be shaking in my boots.
What is Franklin Village?
Franklin Village is like, it's right next to Beechwood. I feel like it's between.
Oh,
Beechwood.
I thought it was in like Valley Village. I
no,
thought it was like
Franklin
in...
Village is that stretch of Franklin kind of right before you get into Los Feliz where it's like.
Oh, so they're like making another Hollywood bar.
Yes. They're
that's
opening
not as smart.
On that stretch. You don't think that's smart?
I thought it was really smart to like make a bar in like Valley Village. Yeah. I just feel like that like Valley Village probably doesn't have any good bars and like
yeah,
there's
like
probably
North
a lot
Hollywood,
of young people
Valley
with money.
Village.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, maybe it'll expand. I mean, I feel like Schwartz and Sandy's could become like an Applebee's type of restaurant. Like it has
like
chain
what like what the Wahlburgers couldn't what the Wahlburgers
what Wahlburgers
couldn't do.
Will never be able to accomplish.
What, did you watch
Chili's?
Wall Street?
No. Am I missing out?
Yeah.
Okay.
It
wow,
is.
Okay. You're the only person that's ever said that to me, but I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, what's interesting, and just we don't have to go too deep into it because it's worth watching. I don't want to ruin it for you, is that like the only thing that Mark Wahlberg is good at is acting, and like every investment that he's made, every bet he's taken on a person has like been totally... like a totally bad idea. It's a like 4-episode reality show that was produced by his own production company about
four?
How he, yeah, it's like 4 or 5 episodes about how he's like a entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so sad. I'll let you.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it then because it pops up every once in a while. It's on one of those streaming platforms, maybe like HBO Max acquired it or something. So it's on my radar. I didn't know it was such a low commitment level either. I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad because it's all the businesses are failing.
Love that.
And he's trying and like,
But his ideas, like one of his businesses is called Municipal, and it's basically just like t-shirts that the word municipal is written on.
No.
And he's like wondering why it's like not doing well.
Okay,
and
wait, then the other one is like incredible.
How he's like trying to like make Wahlburgers happen like in the UK, but they don't want it in the UK. And his like dumbass brother is like running operations. I don't know. It's a mess. And he also lives in like a Disney castle. It's kind of funny and amazing.
Okay, I'm definitely watching this. I also just have to say, I've never even had a Wahlburger, and I resent the whole endeavor. I think the color scheme is gross. Like, it doesn't horrible. Read. And I'm like the number one fan of a cheeseburger. Like, it's like a once or twice a week affair for me. So I'm open. But I've never
They didn't
been
come at
called.
It from the right angle.
No. Mm-mm. Terrible like, color
they
scheme
didn't,
as well.
They didn't. They, bad color scheme. They didn't really understand like where we were in like the burger movement. And it was like, because I feel like when they came into being, it was kind of like umami burger, right? It was about this like adding
elevated.
Something special. Yeah, it was like elevating the hamburger. And I feel like Wahlburgers just sort of met the hamburger where it already was,
yeah,
and didn't put a twist on it. Besides,
they felt like, their name was the twist,
right? And it wasn't. But Schwartz and Sandy's, I think, could expand. Apparently now, I haven't been to Vegas in a long time, but apparently now it's like all Lisa Vanderpump restaurants.
Yeah, she's taken over. I'm like, where's the Vanderpump Vegas reality show?
Yeah,
where's that? Where's like, why are we not following the Sheena doppelganger around?
And like, yeah.
I love like a slice of Vegas life. So
yeah,
that needs to happen. I could see Schwartz and Sandy's is just smart from a branding standpoint also of like, I would watch a show that takes place there. I'm glad that they're leaning into the just restaurant legacy and yeah. have been able to start to create a legacy out of yeah. the hellfire of Sir.
The one thing that like concerned me was when Sandoval said he wanted double decker booths.
Yeah, it was very awesome. I just imagine it's going to be very Austin Powers, like from a decor standpoint. Which,
but like, I just like one thing I would be really concerned about, like the construction.
Mm-hmm.
Like walking into that bar, I would just feel a little uncomfortable with like, are things going to fall down?
Permits. And
yeah, because I just don't, I feel like they're not, that's not what they're really concerned with. Like they would make it out of like popsicle sticks and, you know, craft paper.
Well, that's also kind of the Lisa Vanderpump way, is if you go into Pump or Sir especially, like there are columns that look like they're marble, but they're really like painted plywood
cardboard.
Or styrofoam even. And like Tom Tom feels just very dangerous to be in from an earthquake yeah. standpoint. Like it's so much metal that could
there's like the shaken. Like the, it's like the steampunk like clocks or whatever.
Yeah, it's a whole steampunk wall that could chop you into bits.
Literally,
you would lose a limb if like the big one hit and you happen to be in there.
Have you guys talked about on this podcast about how there's the breakout TikTok twerker who is a server at Tom Tom?
No. Which TikTok, which server is it?
So, I don't think he's on the show, but he has long hair. He's a handsome guy.
Do you have
guy
a ponytail like, hair?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. He's served me. He's a great server. I'm excited. Well,
he's also a really good twerker, and he's like called like Sir Twerks a lot or something like
oh
that
God.
On TikTok. And he like makes every TikTok challenge like into a twerking challenge. And he is, but his day job is serving.
Mm-hmm. The Hollywood
anyway,
hustle.
That's all. Just
okay. Well,
seriously.
I'm checking him out immediately. I love James, the reveal of the Tiffany ring maybe not being a Tiffany ring. Do we think it was like
well,
a Tiffany secondhand ring, or just like
so
a
I,
ring
I think
put in a Tiffany box?
So the core, to me, the core of the matter is about whether it's the ring that makes it Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Or the stone,
mm-hmm.
or the place you buy it.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
So like, I actually texted one of my friends who's a certified gemologist.
Thank God.
Before doing this.
Thank God.
And I was like, is it possible to buy a Tiffany diamond from a dealer, but it isn't a Tiffany ring? And she wrote back, why would you do that? So I guess you could, it's feasible that you could like go to a diamond dealer and they would sell you a Tiffany like certified. No, actually, you know what? I can't even justify it myself.
My theory is that it was like someone gave back or sold their ring.
Like pawned it.
Yeah, pawned it or like, and then that person then sold it to James. And it was right. A Tiffany ring. It was just like
at one
was
point.
Like, yeah, it was already, it was a pre-owned Tiffany engagement ring.
Or no, so I think it was, or just I think that someone, yes, I think someone pawned their ring and then that ring was purchased by some kind of like diamond dealer, probably went through a few different mm-hmm. owners. Then that dealer took the ring out of the pawned ring and put it into a new setting and a new ring and sold it to James.
For $100,000.
I want to see that. I want to see that invoice
for that. Yeah, I don't believe the $100,000.
No. Ring. Also, like to buy a $100,000 ring from a diamond dealer, like as a deal, would mean that like retail, it would be like
$500,000, like a $500,000 ring.
And that ring is not. It's not Travis Barker, Kourtney Kardashian ring.
Yeah, I demand more ring receipts so we can get to the bottom. There's so many questions.
I just like feel bad for Raquel because it makes her look stupid.
Well, I don't think I think she doesn't need a lot of help with that. I wouldn't
no, but just like going around
the one thing that makes her look
no,
stupid.
No, true. No, but I just feel like why, you know, punch down? And I feel like to me, like presenting Raquel with a ring and saying it's from Tiffany when there is like an element of truth, but it's not the whole truth, like mm-hmm. to me feels unfair, putting her in an unfair position.
It is unfair to her. And I think the thing about Raquel is she would take any ring. Like you don't have to lie to her. I think she's happy with whatever it is. Like, she's accepting everything James is giving her. So.
Yeah. I mean, she wants to be the future Mrs. James Kennedy, which to me, or I would imagine to you, seems like worst case scenario, waking up the future Mrs. James Kennedy.
To tie yourself legally for eternity to James Kennedy is not the life move that I would recommend for a young woman like Raquel, who is great.
Filing a joint tax return with James Kennedy seems like a horrible idea. I hope they are married, filing individually.
Yeah.
Just for Raquel's sake.
I just don't. And also, he's at the nascent stages of his DJ career, and I don't see this relationship like lasting through his ascension to DJ stardom.
No, with all the groupies that will
undoubtedly flock to him wherever he goes. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see the news about Lala and Randall?
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that up top, but I'm glad you're bringing it up. What are your thoughts? I have not seen any of Lala's posts since she posted her like Beverly Hills Hotel, like walking through the hallways, checking in with like her gays and her baby. Which seems expensive, and I'm like,
yeah.
Can you afford to live there?
The other day, I did a really deep dive on Randall. I was just like, I don't like. Is he like he? The media seems to take him seriously as a producer, in that they're not like. It's not like, remember like Anne Hathaway's like fiance who was like Raffaello, whatever, who like was literally a con man. Like they like the media never took him seriously, but I feel like Randall somehow like. Like he was a producer on like that
Power.
10-hour, no, oh, Power and also The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked like before Power and The Irishman, he like I've never heard of anything that he's ever done.
It's and all
also
B-movies.
Like being right, and also being a producer, like means that you're finding the money or putting up the money. It's not exact. I mean, like, and yes, if it's a runaway success, you're getting money on the back end, but I just don't think that's how you like amass a ton of wealth, by like having The Irishman, which I don't think was any sort of success, and Power, which I think was a success. So maybe he has money from Power, but like How much?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like he strikes me also as someone that might be like floating from like huge paycheck to huge paycheck, mm-hmm. or like takes out mm-hmm. a lot of loans to get stuff done.
Yeah. Let's just say I would imagine that being his accountant is complicated.
But he also like was, I think, the inspiration for Turtle in Entourage, which was all right. based around Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, so he also has like Wahlberger's right. energy.
He was he does. Yeah, maybe that's where he learned like all the he trade. Knows about business is from Mark Wahlberg, which would explain producing The Irishman. Which yeah. is like, it's De Niro. What could go wrong?
He has, yeah, it's like he has a few clout markers, but then yeah. everything else is so shady. I still don't understand how like movies that go straight to streaming that like who watches those and how do they actually make money? It seems
I don't know.
Like money
I don't,
laundering
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, I think I would imagine that, and like the fact that Randall's saying he wouldn't invest in Schwartz and Sandy's, like I feel like anyone who invests in restaurants is also like misguided, because I feel like restaurants are one, it's like investing in a fashion business where it just seems like not a great way. It's like not a solid investment
most of the yeah. time. Yeah. Or
restaurants
the kind
of are so hard
where it's like you're just not going to get money back for years.
Right. And so, but I feel like he's someone who would like love to be an investor in a restaurant because he would like always get the right table and they'd be like, Rand, you know, like,
yeah,
we know,
booth.
Like, yes.
The Emmett booth. He,
do you think he's a member of San Vicente Bungalows?
That's a good question. I feel like no, because we would have seen
Lala like no.
and Rand pictured walking out of there.
Yeah. She looks great this season, by the way. I feel like she's taken it down a notch, like from a
yeah, I
injectable, think an injectable standpoint.
She goes to that Dr. Diamond.
Oh, it's because she just had a baby.
And I'm just had a baby, all, and so, yeah.
So she couldn't do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She looks so much better.
Had so much that it was like she just lost a little of the like filler puffiness and stretchiness.
And now,
and
it's
now
perfect.
It's like at a great level. Yeah.
She goes to Dr. Diamond.
Mm-hmm. That's what you, I guess then that makes me think like Rand does have money, because I don't think on
I don't think he's
salary.
Giving freebies.
No, I don't think he gives freebies either.
No, and
like,
I
the
guess
the rest of them don't go to Dr. Diamond. So I
no.
think it's like no.
definitely not. Sheena Shea could.
Yeah.
Is she still in Marina Del Rey?
No, she moved back to Hollywood. She fled the marina and now I think lives in Hollywood again, which made me sad. I was here for her West Side endeavors.
Yeah, me too. And like Marina Del Rey is like such a, like, isn't it literally like it's not real like soil? It's like made on top of a landfill or something?
Probably.
Or no, that's Playa Vista.
No, yeah. I think it's all that area seems, it's tenuous.
It's not real.
What do you think of Katie's role in like the Schwartz and Sandy of it all? Like, we have that scene where Tom Schwartz, he relents and says to Sandoval, like, you can name the restaurant whatever, like, I trust you, just do it, which I thought was great because I had already come around yeah. to Schwartz and Sandy. Like, I was
me
like
too.
That is the name of this place, like, it will never be
yeah.
anything else. And I can't tell if Katie, I can't tell if this is like for storyline or if she really is like pissed about all of this and like her passion now lies in the food service industry.
Well, I think number one, I'd say like I feel like everything we need to know about Katie lies in that like cheetah print tattoo
mm-hmm.
that she has, and just sort of like who she was at that moment to get a cheetah print tattoo, and like what she how she saw her life unfolding, you know, and like how it's now different and she's perhaps not equipped for like the new career. You know, she was going to be a makeup artist and wasn't
she like
an esthetician?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like edgy and like a punk, like into
punk
mute, like,
music.
Her like,
and
yeah.
And like kind
yeah.
of like out
and her
there,
like her Instagram thing is called like Music Kills Katie. Like
yeah.
she thought like that was her brand.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like living in Valley Village in a modern farmhouse and like doesn't I think is just sort of
and yearns to be like the maitre d' of
yeah.
Schwartz and Sandy's. I was like, honey, reconnect to your passions.
I know. Well, I think that's what it, I think she's just trying to find her, like, how, like, now that this is my life, like, where is my place? Versus, like, I knew what my place was going to be. Like, I was going to be, like, the girl in the mosh pit, getting tattoos with, like former Mormon band, like, Brandon Flowers. And, like,
yeah,
that was going to be it. And now she's like, I guess I'll just, like, do the front of house at Schwartz and Sandy's. And, like, wants to, like, have input into the name. But I don't know. Their relationship to me is very, it's very depressing.
It's like, I don't really see, depressing.
there's not moments of love. Like, do you, like, we saw Tom and Ariana this season, or this episode, as we mentioned, like, having that, like, very honest moment where you're like, okay, they've talked about, like, not having sex or, like, not wanting to get married, but it seemed like they have a very genuine connection.
Yeah.
We have not seen that. Have we ever seen that with Katie and Tom? Not even at their wedding.
No, it's all very, to go back to, like, sexless energy. It's very sexless, it's passionless, and it feels just, like, comfortable, but not in, like, a loving way, and, like, a
no, it's like platonic,
really, the least at all times, like,
yeah,
you're,
and they, like, dig at each other in really, like, toxic ways, like, about like their looks and, like, his dick size, and, like, remember, like, it's just like, yeah, it's been a history of, like, when the camera shut off, like, are they together? Or do they, like, still hang out?
I guess so.
They must.
I mean, I honestly think, I feel bad for Katie's fertility journey, just in the sense that if she was really dying to have a kid and then literally every friend of hers did get pregnant within that 6-month period, like, that would be a troll. And so I have a lot of empathy for that. But I also, on the other side, am like, the universe is telling you that you do not need to procreate with this man. You need, yeah, to get out of this marriage. Like, I'm a Katie truther now, and, like, of, like, you must get divorced and disentangled.
You think
yourself.
that there's something better for Katie out there.
I believe that with all my heart. I truly think, and, like, to see her half-heartedly fight and, like, resign herself to being, like, the front woman of Schwartz and yeah, Sand, like, that is now her ultimate dream. I was like, yeah, I can't stand for this. Like, it hurt
no.
me, actually. I was like, this,
yeah,
you've got to get out of there.
And she is somewhat smarter than Schwartz.
Definitely.
I agree.
And,
well,
more
so I have a question. You,
just in general,
you've, like, crossed the professional line to friendship line with Ariana, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you have a little bit of insight that I don't have. And do you think, does Ariana, like, is she and Sandoval are real, like, the real deal? Like, she's happy just not being married and not having kids and just happy with Sandoval?
Yeah, they're the real deal. Like, I remember when, in my early, early podcasting days, when they came over, like, they're to pod together, their passion was so in transit, like, I felt like
electric
high. It was electric after being around them. I was,
you,
like,
got high on their love. That
I got
sounds
high
like
on their
a Kesha
love.
Song.
And then I missed them afterwards. I was like, like, I wish that they were here right now just to, like, hang out. Like, and they've consistently matched that same energy, like, every time that I've been around them since. So I believe the love is real.
I mean, like,
it's interesting. I like that I like that she says, like, she's open to, like, marriage or possibilities. Like, I find, yeah, that to be really relatable, because I've also been in a place where I'm like, I would never get married, like, blah, 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 blah. But things change over time, and that's very human. Like, I don't fault her for that.
No. And like, in his defense, Sandoval does seem like a rock. Like, he seems dependable, even though he's an idiot.
Yeah.
He seems more dependable and more substantial, like, emotionally, than Schwartz does. Schwartz, like,
you, like, stub your toe and Schwartz would, like, melt down.
I don't know,
like,
what to do. Yeah.
He wouldn't even know how to, like, handle a simple thing like that. He's, like, not, I couldn't be with someone like that.
Like, the other thing my husband and I were doing last night is we were going through every cast member on the show and saying whether they were, like, a top or a bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I guess I can say that, like, as a gay person. And it was basically that everyone was a bottom.
that was the conclusion. There's in the mix, or have maybe, all the I think, tops I been think, fired?
I think all the tops have been fired.
Wow, just like bottom.
I mean,
energy.
Charlie, Charlie could give us that at a certain point. Coming
soon.
You think
Lala's a bottom? I think she kind of has top energy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the it's a low bar right now. But like James Kennedy, huge bottom. Raquel, obviously bottom. everyone.
Schwartz is like reluctant top, I think.
A very
so reluctant.
A very soft top. Yeah.
Yeah, you would think he's a bottom, but he actually is a top. You have to beg him. You have to beg him and pump him up for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And he'll get like one pump in and then he'll just like, I can't do it. So it's like reluctant top. Yeah.
And like, I didn't want to, my husband and I did, surrogacy and fertility. So I like know what the journey is of like giving sperm and doing all that stuff. So I don't want to like sperm shame. However, like, I'm going to guess that the results of Schwartz's spermology analysis are going to reveal some slow swimmers.
Well, he said there was a teaser of next week's episode where he was like, my sperm are like two-headed. Like, I'm like, Katie, literally every sign is pointing to get the fuck out of this.
Yeah.
You cannot procreate with this man.
You're in danger, Katie.
You're in deep, deep danger. Run for your life.
Oh my God, run.
Run. What do you feel about Brock? Like Brock, the Lala versus Brock.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lala brings up a good point, which is that like you should be going into any relationship with someone who has another family that they haven't seen in 4 years with your eyes open.
Yeah.
And not to assume that the past will not repeat itself. That said, I think Brock seems like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that his ex-wife or his ex-baby mama or whatever does seem like she didn't want him in their life. So I'm like, I think Lala's meddling. And also, doesn't Randall have like 10 other kids?
Yeah, he has two other kids with another like young blonde actress type. So I'm like, this feels very like pot and kettle situation to me.
Yes.
It's a Lala Kent on her high horse. And there's only one direction you can go from there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, did you see she was wearing in that scene where they do that workout that every Bravo star does?
Does every Bravo star do this workout?
Yeah, they. It's because it's like weird and like, you know, like they'll have like funny things.
It's like we can film it. Yeah, but
yeah,
I
they did it on Dallas.
This. Okay, I was like, I want to do this workout because I think a lot of celebrities do it too, I believe it's similar to M Sculpt. Or it's like kind of that same idea.
It's simulating like hours of crunches or something.
Muscle contractions. And I was like, I definitely right before we got on this Zoom was doing like a Los Angeles search of where I can go get this workout. And I think I found a location that's close by.
I just think that like that workout is the kind of workout where people say, oh, I feel like this is something that celebrities do, but the actual people that they've gotten to like endorse it are like Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're a celebrity and you're doing that workout, you probably just bought that machine and then you and your trainer do it like three times a week in addition to the other like 10 hours a week you spend working out. Like,
right.
But also, but like so did you notice? Like once or twice?
No. Did you notice Lala's hat?
Mm-hmm.
It says that was so trashy, and I like looked it up online just to see like where she got that hat, and it's actually it's her own like merch.
I was gonna say I believe that that's a line that she might have said.
I didn't know that was her tag. I didn't know that was so trashy is also like not a good catchphrase. Like, that was so trashy. What was so trashy? Like, what are we talking about?
I can't remember what she was talking about or what it was in reference to, but when I saw it, I was like, I'll bet that is her own merch. It's a lazy attempt.
I mean, to me, that, yeah, that says everything that you need to know about where we are with, like, the cast, is that, like, that is the best, like, the that's best the best tagline.
A better like, hat remember would Jax? Even be, like, give them Lala, would is yes. just better merch. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll never forget Jax's chunky sweater line that didn't necessarily materialize.
It was like a V-neck sweater. It was like V-neck, collar, shawl collar sweaters.
Yeah, cardigans. And I think he was like a brand ambassador for some sort of like a clothing brand we'd like never heard of. Excalibur, actually. Now I remember the name.
But I don't know anything about Excalibur, but like I feel like he had I'm the top man in the group. The number one guy in the group. Like that, I'd wear that on a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has like heart. I feel like that was so trashy. It was about a specific thing that was trashy and not something that she like would always say, nor is it a particularly like
it's not
astute observation.
Yeah.
it's not a tagline.
If it's something that anyone could say and it sounds fine coming out of their mouth, like you should not brand like your merch around.
Honey,
that.
That's not a tagline. That's just
it's just a sentence.
Babe, that's a literal is a literal observation about something that was trashy. That's nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah,
we have to like
let it go. Something else will come to you. Trust that something else will come to you, and that it does. The brainstorming doesn't end at the time you said that's so trashy about something.
No, I always say this about like people who have good ideas are not like protective of their ideas because they'll always have good ideas, right? Yeah. So it's like, fine, you take that idea, whatever. But like Lala had this idea and she was like, this is it. I'm like trademarking it.
That was so trashy in the past tense.
Like that was so trashy.
Makes no sense, actually.
I mean, here we are on a Vanderpump Rules podcast and we don't even know.
Yeah.
Like what episode or like moment.
Like, I can hear her saying that, and I remember knowing her saying that, but it was not like, what did fans message her and be like, that was incredible? Like, who's encouraging her in this endeavor? Because if it was you and you're listening, you need to stop. Like,
yeah,
stop in your tracks. Please. And, like, you need to not watch Bravo anymore, probably.
That was, give them Lala. You can't even, the sad fact is you can't buy a Give Them Lala hat on her website, and you can buy a That Was So Trashy hat.
How much are the That Was So Trashy hats retailing for?
25.
Okay, sensible.
Right?
The sensible price point, yeah.
Yeah, not mad and at her that. Book, her book on her website, it says that her book was a USA Today bestseller. Which, you know,
that's not for nothing.
I'll tell you what, I'm not a USA Today bestseller.
I don't know if I am or not, but I was glad I was glad secretly, not so secretly, that she didn't make New York Times bestseller.
I know, that would have been like a sad state of affairs. Who is she comparing herself to, Stassi?
I guess so, yeah. But also,
who did get on the Times list?
Stassi, we're not ready to be given Lala in that way at this time. Again, it was like she is not thinking these things through strategically.
No. Some people need to wait to write the book.
Mm-hmm. She could have waited like 5 more years. The book would be far more interesting, especially it's like you haven't even seen this Randall relationship through to its like end, which now she actually has a book to write if she's breaking up with him for good.
That's so true. Like, we need the breakup book.
I know. What I was like dying when she confronts Sheena in the baby clothing store about Brock, and Sheena's response for like how much Brock actually does care about his other family is she says Brock thinks about them all the time and he drinks out of a coffee mug with their faces on it and they are the background of his computer screen.
In today's in the world we live in, that says more about our culture than it does about Sheena and Brock and Brock and his love for his kids.
Devoted father.
They're like, that's her, like, that's like literally his lock screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He and went on like
faces, and she's crying when she said that. Yeah, it moves her.
That's
so
an,
much.
That's a mug that he got on like printfish.com, like with their faces on it, because that's how much he loves them.
And he drinks out of it every day. It's not like a once a week thing. It's every day.
No, it's like where he only drinks his Bulletproof coffee out of that mug.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I loved about Brock is that he I've never heard of pickleball.
I've started to hear about it more and more.
It's popping on your radar more and more. Yeah,
pickleball is trending, believe it or not. Like I've
really?
Yeah. Like people are playing pickleball. I'm not one of them, but no. I wouldn't put it past myself. I guess it's like more low stakes tennis or something.
So it's like something between it's somewhere between ping pong and tennis.
And it feels like squashy. Undertones. Got it. As well,
but the fact like that the energy that he has to like go practice for like a few hours before they have the tournament is like really bizarre to me. Like you are 6'10" and like obviously stronger and bigger and more masculine and have more like testosterone pumping through your body than the rest of the cast members have combined
to practice like, for that long and not even place in the pickleball tournament. I was like, this is a misguided attempt.
Maybe he doesn't have the body for pickleball.
The agility required.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not aerodynamic enough, I guess.
What did you think of the sperm gag on Lisa Vanderpump?
I think it's moments like those that are actually the most uncomfortable for me when they think they're like when people on this show think that they're funny.
I thought that it was actually the sperm at first, like because I guess the Bravo showed like a teaser where it was bleeped out or something, or and I was I literally was like, oh my god, like they would just show their sperm to their employer or whatever, and I was like deeply uncomfortable. And then I was like, yeah. Oh, just a trick. But
I also like how you're still thinking of Lisa as their employer, like as if there are still like lines and like lines that have yet to be crossed.
Well, she is like their boss still at the end of the day. I mean, isn't true, she the executive producer of this show that they're on?
True. So like meta boss, like real boss, all sorts of boss. But I just feel like Schwartz has talked about how he wants to like have sex with her all the time and even has like said it to Ken. That, like,
he would just give
is
her...
Is Ken still alive?
He is.
He's not appearing on the show right now.
He was in this episode very briefly, I think, standing at the bar, like, ordering a drink.
Oh.
Yeah.
At least he's standing.
Mm-hmm. He's hanging on.
They've, like...
Hanging in
there. They propped him up, like, Weekend at Bernie's style.
They put a stake in the ground, and they tie Ken to it, and then just leave him there while Lisa and everyone else films their scenes.
That's fair. And they put him on, like, they get, like, a dolly, and they just, like, put him in, like, when the scene starts.
Yeah, just put him and sit him down in the chair.
Poor Max. I mean, like, the fact that Max is even entertaining an apology from James Kennedy when he... the things that he said were, like, so mean and unhinged. Like, you're fat and nobody likes you.
He called him a fat like, cunt. Like, that is... You've crossed the line. Like, I'm not an angry person, but if I, like, get in a really throwdown fight with, like, a sibling, like, I might cross a line, but I would not cross the line of, like, fat cunt with, like, anyone.
No.
And
I've, like,
do,
been...
You
I've been...
need to, like, rethink.
It's been drilled into my head that you can't use that word.
The C word?
Like, the C word. Like, yeah. As a guy, like, it is... It's a really bad thing to say.
Really? Oh, I think it's a great word.
No,
and
maybe,
I
feel like it's okay for you too. But I feel like it's very uncool. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that word. But
feels
then
British
for,
to say it too. I think the Brits feel differently about it. Clearly.
And then, but like for him to like also use it on like it's like a guy to it's a like guy on guy c-wording.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is like also like they're both C words.
Also, like that to bring it back, that your boss's son.
I feel like
he says it like in front of Lisa. He's like, that's why you never had a girlfriend. And I'm like, that is your employer again is right here.
Lisa's like reading the text messages and she's like, so you called him a fat cunt. He said you're fat and you'll always be alone forever. And like all these like horrible things about her son. And she's saying, she's like, you really should apologize.
She's like, that is not fair. It's like, Lisa, I think
your
Lisa
anger got
kind
the
of
better of you
to humiliate Max a little bit.
Well, he still works. He's like still a busboy, and Pandora is like the face of Vanderpump Rosé.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Max is pretty low on the Vanderpump Empire totem pole.
Yeah,
but I'm
he, at least he has a storyline. Well, I guess he had a storyline last season too about finding his birth family, right?
Oh, yeah. Did that ever go anywhere?
I don't remember.
I feel like one scene. I like that they continue to try to work Max into this show. Like, will it ever take off? TBD, probably not. But no. I like for Max that he did get an Oculus, like the newest Oculus. I feel like that he'll have fun with that. And then he gets to be in a power position, which I think makes him feel good about deciding not to take James back as a friend.
I mean, but James is like, he's so like, there's something very deeply unhinged, and I know that's like stating the obvious, but like imagine like sober, being completely sober and like all of those like typing all those words out to your boss, and also who is also your boss's son.
Yeah. It's really, I worry for James a lot. Like, I think that there is still a lot really wrong that needs to get resolved before entering, like, a marital union or even, like, going down the road of trying to have kids or anything. Like, even the way he bosses Raquel around a little bit when they're in the car and he's like, well, that's the last time you're wearing that ring to work. It's like, don't ding that. Like, I was just like, I worry for her.
I mean, I worry for her, but I also think in some ways they kind of deserve each other.
Work together? Or, yeah.
Like, that they, like, she, I think, needs to be with someone who, like, brings that kind of energy. Like, she, because she just has the opposite energy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I also screenshotted the text messages that James wrote to Max.
I want them framed. Like, someone needs to make art over them.
I mean, like, this is literally like a Richard Prince.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's you're fat and nobody likes you. You're a miserable cunt and you always have been. You come outside, you fat prick. All I could think about is how fat you look. That is like so deeply
so
toxic
mean.
And like so mean. And also, like, not to mention that, like, Lisa is wearing a full, like, Paula Poundstone blue satin tie and, like, dress shirt while she's, like, reading these text messages, which also just added to it. But he's so mean. And he probably says the worst things to Raquel that, like, you would ever hear.
Oh, absolutely. I think he just, like, rages first and asks questions later. And it's interesting, too, that his rage and, like, cruelty is far worse than even Katie's at her most Katie. Like, she wasn't going down this road. You know what I mean?
No.
These are
James
like things
like,
that you don't walk, you can't bounce back from because you're just like, God, you're so fucking mean.
You can't walk back. Yeah. He'll say the worst thing to upset you. Like when he would like, when he said whatever he said to Katie last season that got him fired. But the fact that he still wants to like DJ at Sir, I guess. I feel like there are bigger venues that he could DJ at, like just from being DJ James Kennedy up from Vanderpump.
I think he could like DJ at Hollywood nightclubs at this point.
Yeah.
Like there
I would
are,
go.
They would absolutely take him. He went on Watch What Happens Live last night, and I guess he like his post, I just saw what he had posted on social media, and he was like, Andy thinks I'm gonna be a huge DJ, by the way. Like, and I just love that vote of confidence. I think so too. So I'm glad to be on the right side.
So here's his
upcoming dates.
Okay.
He's at the Blended Festival in San Diego. Then he's in Cincinnati on October 29th. Then he's hitting up Indianapolis on November 5th. And then Omaha, Nebraska on November 6th. So
I love those markets for him.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I bet those are, you know, like, he could probably make so much money from that. You remember how it was when the Jersey Shore, Pauly D was the one who actually was making the most money because you can just charge so much for these, and like, you don't have to do anything. And he actually had a skill that no one else had.
Yeah.
Maybe James Kennedy is the Pauly D of Vanderpump.
I think he might be, because also.
And Jax is the Situation.
Mm-hmm. Sandoval and Schwartz are like Vinny, kind of.
Yes, totally.
Or Schwartz is very Vinny, at least.
Yeah. And then who would be Snooki?
Sheena's kind of Snooki.
She is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then the one that was with Ronnie is Katie.
Yeah. Or even Dodie. Like, that's like Dodie and Sandoval's relationship.
Yep.
For those first two seasons.
And then what about Ronnie?
Jax also has Ronnie energy a little bit.
But he's so the Situation.
He's so sitch, yeah.
And I think you're right that Ronnie, like, that Schwartz is Vinny and Ronnie is Sandoval.
Yeah, but Ronnie also was like incredibly abusive, so I don't get that vibe from Sandoval.
No, you're right. So he does have a little Jax in him.
Yeah, Sandoval's also kind of Pauly D, just with like the manicured.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are maybe, very, I mean, Jersey, honestly, Shore adjacent.
Yeah. And like, probably James Kennedy will have the last laugh.
I think so. I mean, I think I can see like his career going places if he aims a little higher than Sir and Tom Tom.
I mean, I wonder, you know how there's like now the skinny girl clause in all the Bravo Housewives contracts?
What's that?
So I mean, I say this like I know this all for a fact.
Oh my God, I didn't know.
So basically, like, after Bethany like sold Skinny Girl and, you know, whatever, had the big cash windfall, apparently any subsequent contracts that were signed for like new housewives included a stipulation that like if you launch a brand like after being appearing on the show, like Bravo gets a piece of it.
Whoa.
Because it makes sense that like,
yeah,
after that they're like, wait, like we are the ones who like basically like did all these advertisements for Skinny Girl and we didn't get a dollar from it. So now like all the brands that have launched, like they're all partly owned by like NBC Universal.
Oh, incredible.
Which is interesting. And so I would just wonder whether similarly with like these guys, whether like Bravo gets a piece of like, or decides or has any say at like what kind of gigs he takes.
I wonder, yeah, because he was like DJing prior to being on the show, I guess. And is DJing, I think so, or like was like a music hopeful.
Yeah.
But
he had that dream.
Yeah, his dream exists, like predates his time on Vanderpump Rules. But I would argue he's born with that dream. And
how are they going to afford a wedding?
I don't know. Maybe Sandoval will pay for
it. I mean, Sandoval really impressed me this episode. Like, I feel like it's very easy just to be like, you're a narcissistic, like, idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then to, like, be able to... He's a good producer.
He is. Like, he's passionate, and I appreciated... Mm. Like, I don't think he's channeling, like, his... I think he's still figuring out his emotions around Katie and like why that bothers him so much. So I don't think he's very good at like vocalizing his hurt. And I also think it's like, you need to let go of like these. She's clearly, Katie has no rage anymore because she literally has no passion for anything anymore. So she's virtually harmless. Like, you don't have to, you can just hear her out. You don't have to like.
She's been declawed.
Yeah, it's totally declawed. And like, all but neutered at this point. Like, just let her have one thing. You don't even have to listen to her. And I get like her delivery comes off badly because she's also a terrible communicator, but
it's like, let her own the reservation book You don't even have to take reservations. Just let her think she's like penciling people in. You know what I mean?
Let her stand there and like yeah. wear an apron and say hi. She'll probably get sick of it after like a couple times. I like how he was like,
yeah,
well, you're not the most, or was her own husband who goes, well, we all know you're not the most sociable person.
their relationship
thank
is.
Thank you, Schwartz.
I just really want to think that there's a lot of love there when the cameras turn off.
Maybe there is, and that's just what, yeah, like what we're missing. Like they now just have to play these roles for the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I even had them on the podcast early days.
What was that energy like?
It was the same. It was like they got in a fight about like eating pad thai. Like,
no.
Yeah. Like they, and like, it was still
so it was not like there was not the like electricity that you there was, experienced
no, no. There
with,
was not electricity.
With Ariana and Sandoval.
Sandoval, yeah, no. There not there that electricity was nowhere to be found.
Interesting. But yet and yet they're here still together.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about their love in this what?
Year
20th
of our Lord,
day of October.
Yeah. Deep into 2021, they've like outlasted most. Who will be the first divorce?
Great question. I mean, James and I mean, like, I don't. They'll. Do you think that they'll have the wedding this season or will it be next season?
No, it would definitely be next season.
Right.
I don't
so
know
then
if
I think
they'll
make
it to the altar.
No, to the altar.
Yeah. That and that's yeah. an interesting twist. I'm ready to watch like that process for
yeah.
sure.
I feel like she'll get cold feet and they won't like they're going to break off their engagement. First of I don't think Maloney and Schwartz will get divorced. I really don't that's not how I feel and I don't think Brittany and Jax will either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Brittany and Jax could even, like, afford to get divorced.
No, not at this point.
Like, I feel like they'll just fade away and, like, move to Florida or somewhere like that. And then I don't know what they'll do.
I wonder if, like, Bravo is planning to bring them all back for little spinoff shows, like Stassi and Bo and all of them. But just is, like, waiting for, like, the like controversy to cool off and
I
then just like bring
that.
Them back.
Because you know what was really Me interesting too. About this episode is that this was the first time that anyone even mentioned their names and it was not in terms of like the firings that happened. It was Lisa being like, well, like it must have been hard for Katie when Sheena, Stassi, Brittany, and everyone got pregnant. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to like nod to them when we all know like they're not here and
happened.
Why they're not here.
Yeah.
So that actually
also,
makes me
yeah.
think that they could just be waiting to like reintroduce them like next
yeah,
season.
It's not, yeah. I mean, well, I wonder if ratings will be so dismal like this season that they're going to have to bring some people. Like they don't have stars. Like they have Brock, who I think has it in him.
Mm-hmm.
If we like go back to Australia for him to reconcile with
yeah.
his
bring the mother
first
and
family.
The kids here
mm.
and do like
oh,
a
bring
Brady
make her
bunch.
A
yeah.
Do she Brady gets a job at she gets a job at what if she gets a job at Sir?
Yes, that's the answer to marital
and we
bliss.
Hear finally,
and, like,
her
a
side.
Family. I need summer moon and summer honey and winter both together. Sisters.
Yeah. No, Summer Moon.
Summer Moon. Summer Moon Honey. Yeah.
Honey is her is
I think
third
it's
name?
Like a full, yeah, three names.
And then Lala's is Ocean something. Ocean what?
Ocean. I don't know what the middle name is. Ocean's a beautiful name. I'm a big fan of Ocean.
Yeah. Ocean is actually pretty. Lala has like some in some twisted way, like very cool taste.
Yeah. I'm not mad at her taste level.
No. And like her, like when she had like the bigger, like she was like taking her own challenge of finding bigger and bigger hoops, like every single episode, like a few seasons ago, where like they would just like creepily get like larger and larger. Like I thought that was that honestly, why isn't she selling fucking hoops?
Yeah. That like, I don't
anything
care about
other
her
than
beauty
a
brand and that
no.
hat. That's so, that was so trashy.
Like, I just like the, or like at least make hoops and then you could have like that written inside the hoops, but like tie it back to something mm-hmm. that we care about.
Yeah. I know. I also wonder, like, who will she date if she and Randall truly break up, which I also feel like maybe they're not, it's just
gonna
for be attention on, you know, and a ratings.
Yeah. They're going to be on again, off again. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, who, where does she go from Randall? You would have to, think that she would try and go like an upgrade.
Well, you've heard that Erica Jane is rumored to be dating some like Vegas casino owner guy, like rich Vegas guy. I like always had a feeling that Erica Jane was going to find someone richer and like be totally fine. Yeah. It's not like she's going to be behind jails and poor and like looking at those like studio apartments in Hollywood.
No.
She's
no.
like, and like these reality stars are going to find like guys who want to shower them with gifts and like maybe be on a reality show or something. Yeah. I feel like Lala could easily date someone even more wealthy.
Yeah.
Push comes to shove.
I wish the cameras had been rolling like during this time.
I know. But you know, and honestly though, this season we got not only like Erica Jane unraveling on TV, but we also got Jen Shaw arrested on camera. And I feel like we can't ask for
that's making up
everything.
For like, yeah, I guess like a lack of substantial drama on Vanderpump Rules. But I'm still not mad at the season so far. Like I'm enjoying myself. And I'm laughing and it feels good to be back. And
it's like for once, like COVID doesn't exist.
Yeah. And we
like
and
they're not even pretending
COVID,
to wear masks.
Yeah. And they get to live their dream, like partying on the Coachella polo field. So like, thank God for COVID, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, to me, I was thinking that like the gift that is like Jen Shaw getting arrested on camera for fraud is like making up for COVID. But I guess really it's experiencing the joy of the Vanderpump Rules cast being able to go to Coachella, mm-hmm. you know, and just have the whole polo field to themselves. Like that is really the meaning of the season.
Yeah, party in Palm Springs with abandon. And like I love any time that it shows them having to clean up after themselves.
Yeah, like the dirty dishes in the sink.
Just
no,
making
I think
messes everywhere they go. And then like, yeah, they can still rent a really nice house, but they're at the end of the day always going to have to clean up their own messes. It's grounding mm-hmm. and it is pure Vanderpump energy.
And the question is really like, are they taking out the trash or is it the other way around? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is going to happen with that security deposit?
Speaking of which, small side note, I rented with a few friends for Labor Day this really fancy house like 45 minutes away. Like everyone had kids. It needed to be like a huge house. So yeah. It was this huge, like crazy estate in Somis, which I don't even know where that is. It's in Simi Valley. And I'm currently embroiled in a very heated exchange with the owner of the estate because they're claiming we broke a coffee maker and they took $400 out of our deposit. We didn't even use the coffee maker.
Also, and what kind of coffee maker is $400?
Great question.
I even Googled the maker,
the coffee maker, and it was like $299. I'm like, is she charging tax and shipping? Like,
yeah, for that?
But we also didn't use it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I feel like if that's, and we like really left no trace, if that is what's happening to me, I can only imagine what's happening to their security deposit.
They're getting raked over the coals. I hope.
Seriously.
I hope that you find justice in this coffee maker situation.
I still haven't cashed the deposit refund minus the $400 because I'm like, should I go to small claims court?
Take it to Judge Judy.
Yeah, I have the truth on my side. Mm-hmm. I know that like there is not a world in which I used that coffee maker and broke it because we did not use that coffee maker.
Yeah.
And well, I love having like the truth on my side.
Yeah. I'm glad to be able to use my platform to bring awareness to this like grave mistake on behalf of the rental. So yeah.
I know.
We can only hope that this gets resolved.
Poof. Keep me in your prayers, please.
I will. Tell everyone where they can find you. You have a podcast.
I, I have a podcast called Eyewitness Beauty. It is a pop culture and beauty news podcast that I do with my friend and former colleague, Annie Kriegbaum, who was like the head of creative at Glossier for a while, and now she has her own brand. And we release on Saturdays. And it's like interviews with people who are in the news, and we like do top stories and products of the week. And I say it's about beauty, but it's really just about anything we find interesting. So we'll have like a specialist on ketamine therapy, or like we had Norma Kamali talking about how she like looks so good.
Cool.
And plastic surgeons and stuff like that. So that's at Eyewitness Beauty on Instagram, and I'm Naxalrod on Instagram if you want to follow me.
I love that. Yeah, I can't wait to listen to Norma, because I need to know all her secrets.
She drinks so much olive oil.
Wow. Okay.
That's like a lot. She like eats, I would say probably has like a quarter cup of olive oil a day, like in various forms.
Like on her salads, like, and stuff?
Yeah, like in her salads, like with, she like makes this bread that's just made of like seeds and nuts, and then that she like discovered.
Mm-hmm. There's a goop,
really?
There's a Goop recipe for a seed bread that truly is the most fibrous thing that you could possibly eat, but it like resets your system in such a way that you've never felt healthier after. It's all it takes.
Say no more.
Two slices of this loaf that'll last you. The loaf lasts you a week, and you do two slices a day, it'll change your fucking life. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Well,
that's. I mean, that it's. She's 76, and she looks amazing. So that's me. And thank you, by the way, for bringing or making one of my dreams come true, which is to talk about Bravo on a big platform such as yours.
Thank you so much for being on the pod. You'll have to come back again. There's obviously like endless amounts of Bravo to be discussed in reality TV, pop culture, etc. So I look forward to next time.
Definitely.
All right. Bye. Ain't nobody got me feeling like